going to you to turn your Bibles with me to the book of Colossians 1 and verse 17 through 18. To our visitors, I don't know if it was mentioned earlier, but in the back of the pew in front of you, there are visitors' cards. And we would like to have a record of you being here this morning. So if you're a first-time visitor, please fill out one of those visitors' cards so we'll have a record of your being here. And there are also in the back of that pew some prayer request forms. If you desire prayer for any reason, we want you to fill out one of those cards. At the proper time, we will pray for you and with you, that whatever thing you may be going through, whether it be physical or spiritual, the righteous may pray with you to help you to overcome these things in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1 and verse 17 through 18 teaches that the church is a safe haven. I'm not into verse 17, but I'm wanting to put this in my words. The church is a safe haven, the spiritual structure wherein we have hope of eternal life. Now let us listen to the inspired words of Colossians 1, 17 through 18. It reads, He, Jesus, existed before anything else. And He holds creation together. I'm reading from the New Living Bible. Christ is the head of the church, which is His body. He is the beginning, supreme over all, who rose from the dead. So, He is first in everything that is preeminence. For God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ. In today's lesson, I plan to prove by the scriptures that God hath revealed to the world a great mystery, a thing that was kept secret and that was unexplained and unknown. The scripture reading is taken from 1 Timothy 3 and verses 14 through 16. I will read again for emphasis' sake. I'm writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon, so that if I am delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. This is a church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of truth. Without question, this is the great mystery of our faith. Christ was revealed in human body and vindicated or justified by the Spirit. He was seen by angels and announced to the nations. He was believed in throughout the world and taken up in heaven's glory. Christ Himself is a mystery of redemption. God manifested Christ in the flesh, that He might shed blood to purchase back or redeem the souls of sinful man. Christ is our justification. Through the sacrifice of Christ, mankind has received free pardon from sin. He received free pardon because Jesus paid it all. He paid the debt for us. In Micah 7 and verses 18 of the King James Version, it teaches, Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity or sin and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He restraineth not His anger forever. However, He will not stay angry with you people forever, because He, God, delighteth in mercy. Christ is the Word of God made flesh, John 1:14. Through Christ, all believers can come to the Father, Jehovah, John 14 and verse 6. Today's lesson is designed to explore the mystery of godliness in three ways. Through the revelation of the mystery. Number two, through the ramification of the mystery. And number three, through the implications of the mystery. Point number one, the revelation of the mystery of godliness. The term mystery, as used in the lesson text today, suggests a strange or bizarre or mysterious secret. The secret was not intended to be kept secret or unknown. It was always intended of God that at the right time, God would send or reveal salvation to the world, to a world condemned to hell due to sin. Colossians 1 and verse 25 through 28 of the King James Version. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me. It teaches concerning the mystery, the great mystery, the following. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid for ages and from generations, but now is manifest or revealed to his saints. Verse number 27, to whom God will make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, that is to say, complete, in Christ Jesus. We that are in Christ Jesus are complete. We are not without fault, but we are complete. We have everything we need to obtain salvation. We must give thanks to God for that. Anytime you wish to say amen, feel free to do so. In the book of Ephesians 3, and the verses are 3 through 6 of the King James Version, Paul told the Ephesians that he received the mystery through revelation. It reads, how that by revelation he, God, made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote unto you afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto his apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This is God's plan, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. We should give thanks today for the gospel of Christ. Those of us that were in the presence this morning during Bible class, we talked about Luke. And I won't elaborate much on that, but Luke was inspired of God to go and to pull the gospel, all the fragments, all that was a revealed of Jesus Christ together and in order, that we might have a greater understanding of the things we believe. The term godliness from the original language means religious piety, which includes both the thought of the gospel and the living of the Christian's principle. Someone says, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. But that's not enough, Brother James. That's not enough. We must believe and we must live the principles of Jesus Christ each and every day of our life. One scripture teaches us that the devil believed and trembled. But we all know that hell was made of God for the devil and his angels. It was not made for you and I. It's up to us whether we want to go there or not. The best definition of godliness is revealed in our living a life pure, of pure religion while we strive for salvation each and every day of our life. Someone says, I'm not a teacher, I'm not an example, but we really are. We must look to the scriptures and we must know that we are all teachers, whether we be false teachers, whether we be good examples or bad examples, we're all examples and we're all teachers through our living. We teach others. The great mystery now made known reveals the oneness of Christ and the church. Ephesians 5 and verse 32 and 33 of the New Living Translation teaches. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect, esteem, or regard highly her husband. I'm here to tell you that we are married, church, to Christ Jesus. Yes, we are married to Christ Jesus. And we want to stay faithful to Christ Jesus because we do not want to be found, Brother James, living in spiritual adultery. Point number two. I'll be brief. The ramifications of the great mystery of godliness. To ramify is to divide into. Listen to the six ramifications or divisions listed in the scripture reading of 1 Timothy 3, 16. Division number one. God was manifest or revealed in the flesh. Number two, God was justified or vindicated in the Spirit or by the Spirit. God the Son was seen of angels. Number four, God was preached unto Gentiles. Number five, God was believed on in the world. And number six, God the Son was taken or received up into heaven in glory. Unbelievers find it difficult to conceive the idea that God, a spirit, would leave heaven's glory, come to earth, which is temporal and condemned to destruction due to sin. They find it hard to believe that God would envelop or enclose himself, his spirit, in human flesh. Human flesh that is subject to pain, destruction, and death. Paul's teaching made it clear that Jesus the Christ, our Savior, came to earth in the flesh. The unbelievers' unbelief stems from their conception of God's will. They find it hard to believe that Mary's impregnation was not the after effect of fornication or even of a legal consummation, but the spiritual implantation of the Holy Ghost by God's will. Some people just can't see that. Some people just can't see because they're not spiritual enough to see the fact that God willed that his word be implanted in the womb of the virgin in order that the virgin might conceive a fleshly Savior, a Savior that could shed blood upon the cross. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no salvation for sin. The word justification means, though guilty, that we be guilty, the fleshly sacrifice of Jesus, the Christ, the fleshly sacrifice of his blood, has removed the enmity between God and man and pardoned our sin. To be justified means the state of being seen as if we had never sinned. What a blessing it is to be in Christ Jesus. To receive the justification, the free pardon that God, who loved us to the greatest extent, that he would give his own son, who had no sin, for the sins of this world. The justification of Jesus, however, is quite different, as it's mentioned in today's text. It mentioned the justification of Jesus. Jesus was justified in order that it may be proved, or endorsed, or to provide evidence that he is God in the flesh. This is a justification that is talked about in our scripture text today. Jesus had no sin, no reason to receive any other kind of justification. Matthew 1 and verse number 23 of the New Living Translation teaches, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. How many of us today believe that God is with us? He is with us. Without faith, it's impossible for us to please God. Friends, we must have the faith to rejoice in the Lord even while manifold trials and tribulations and temptation befall us. They're going to. If you haven't received any trials or tribulations, you will. Just keep living and you will. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 6 of the New Living Translation teaches, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while." Somebody says, how long is a little while? Throughout the Christian dispensation, God has a different timetable than we do. For him, we may live to be 100 years old. That's a little while for God. We must be faithful even unto death in order to receive the gift of eternal life. Point number 3, the implications of the great mystery of godliness. The word implication suggests that even though it is not said, what is said is implied. Even though 1 Timothy 3 and 16 does not mention the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, they are implied by the phrases used: justified in the Spirit, received up in glory. Though through the Spirit of Jesus, Jesus being raised from the dead by God's will, we have victory over death and hell. It has opened a door of opportunity. Jesus did, being the first fruit from the dead, open the door of opportunity for us to follow. Aren't you glad about it? Aren't you glad about it? I know when I speak of the dead being raised, I'm not talking about a physical body, so don't go home and be scared to go to sleep. I'm talking about a spiritual person rising from the grave. I'm talking about all of us that are here today. Unless Jesus comes before we die, we'll see death. We're going to see death unless Jesus comes first. And if Jesus comes first, we'll be changed. Some of you look very nice today in your bodies, but the body don't mean nothing the body to God. Yes, it's the temple that God dwells in now if it's clean, but this body is not going to go to heaven. Let me share with you a story. Many people mistakenly use one Sunday of a year called Easter Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of Christ from the dead. The scriptures teaches us that the earlier church celebrated the resurrection of Christ every first day of the week, the pattern that we follow in worship, communing with Christ each first day of the week, Acts 20 and verse 7. The example of the early church is not a direct command to us, but is implied. It is an example that by their godly example, we should follow. I would like to share with you this story that I promised, a story of innocent children whose remembrance of what they had studied and believed showed implications of the great mystery of godliness in Christ Jesus. The story is designed to show the implied identification and purpose of Christ through his resurrection. The story goes like this. A week before their Easter Sunday holiday, the children's Bible class teacher purchased several plastic eggs of various colors and gave each student one of the plastic eggs on that Sunday morning. He told each student to put something inside their plastic egg that would best describe Christ and his resurrection. On their Easter Sunday morning, the teacher asked each student to open their egg and show the class what they had placed inside and how it best described Jesus. One student had placed inside their plastic egg a tiny star, and some of the students laughed. But the teacher told the class to remember that Christ is a star of Jacob and the bright and morning star. Revelation 22, verse number 16. Another student brought a little dirty rock, and some of the students laughed. But the teacher told them to remember that Christ is the rock of ages. Isaiah 26, verse number 4. Another student brought a root from a plant, and some of the children laughed. But the teacher told them to remember that Christ is a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. The root and offspring of David. Isaiah 52 and verse number 2. Another student brought in their plastic egg a piece of wool, and some of the children laughed. But the teacher told them to remember that Jesus Another student brought some letters from the alphabet, and some of the children laughed. But the teacher told them to remember that Christ is the Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. Revelation 22 and verse number 13. At last, one of the students began to cry. The student had opened their plastic egg and found it empty. All the children began to laugh and scream. The teacher told them, "This is the best egg of all. Because if anyone goes to Jerusalem to the tomb of Jesus, they would find it empty." The empty tomb of Jesus is a sure implication that Jesus is the Son of God, both God and man. Mark 14. Verse 61 through 64. This is why Christianity is superior to any world religion, cult, or denomination. If you would go to the tomb of Buddha, Confucius, Mohammed, you would find the decayed remains of their body, unless they have been disturbed by man. You would find them still there in that tomb. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, has risen from the dead, taken up in heaven's glory. Jesus has given the obedient followers, his obedient followers, hope of the same, hope of being taken up into glory. Aren't you glad about it? My friends, Jesus is alive and will live forever. Jesus said in John, the 11th chapter, in verse 26, anyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? He said. Do you believe this, church? Another implication of God's eternal purpose is that he came to earth to redeem man from sure damnation even before the world began. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. God has a plan of salvation for the souls of sinful man. God's plan is revealed in his word. In Bible school, one minister said, in his word of truth. God's word is truth. God has never lied. We should say that as kids. We talk to one another and someone would say something. We said, you ain't never lied. But they had. We must follow God's plan to be saved. We must hear and believe the gospel, Romans 10 and verse 17. We must repent of past sins, Luke 13 and 3. We must confess Christ as the Son of God and our Lord and Savior, Matthew 10 and verse 32 and 33. We must be baptized, that is to say, immersed in water, this for remission of our sins, Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. We must live faithful lives in Christ Jesus unto death, despite the trials and tribulations that I've already mentioned that will happen to us in this life. We would therefore receive a crown of eternal life, Revelation 2 and verse 10. If you think you're working for a piece of metal with jewels, with diamonds and this type of things on it, a crown, you're not going to get it. We're talking about a crown of life. We're talking about eternal life. That's what we're after. Someone is not in Christ Jesus today. Someone may be in the audience today that has been properly taught the word of God and has a sureness in their body that they need to be baptized. We're going to ask you, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you know in your heart that you need to be baptized into the body of Christ, the church of Christ, we want you to come, giving me your hand and giving God your heart, that you might be baptized into the body of Christ, the same church that Christ is coming back for to present to the Father. We're going to ask you to stand. Our song leader is going to lead us in the song of invitation, at the conclusion of the song of invitation, if you desire prayer for that be known as well. Let us sing.
See on the and watching.